The wonderful blessing it is to be alive on this very day. Thankful for God's creation. It's a beautiful day. As you think about the seasons, the change, and the blessings that we have to be able to worship here freely without fear of the government breaking up our assembly for studying His Word, for preaching the Word, singing songs of praise to our great and matchless God. And we hope and pray that each and every heart here has that same desire to worship Him in spirit and in truth from the Bible, from the Scriptures, that we follow that as our standard. It seems like everywhere you look today, someone is urging you to follow your heart. Been hearing this a lot. As you think about the holiday movies, the feel-good movies, they say, follow your heart. And this is a very dangerous thing as you look upon life, as we're going to notice in our study. You hear people say, go with your gut, trust your intuition, do what's right for you, pursue your dreams, believe in yourself. It all amounts to pretty much to what? The same thing, to just follow your heart. So when one who faces an important decision can't go wrong. Someone in the religious circles just say, pray about it, but ultimately, the thing is, you just follow your heart. You just follow your instincts. You follow your feeling. But it's a great danger. You must train your heart. Train your heart. When you think about training your heart, as I think about those who would go into heart training, they would talk about as far as your heart rate. And you have to be very careful concerning going by your feeling. I can remember when I was working out, and I was feeling pretty good, but I hadn't checked my blood pressure. And my blood pressure was really high. And there's a very great danger concerning having a stroke or something like that. Even if you feel good, to have a heart monitor, something outside of yourself. We understand that in the physical realm. You think about it in the spiritual realm. You think about, they want to, as you look and study and examine this, that you want to get the best performance out of your body. So if you get that heart rate at a certain point, then it's going to be good. It's going to be good and productive of your body. How much more concerning our heart being trained by the Bible to be used for His purposes? The best performance of our body in His use. And so let us study and examine concerning training your heart by the Bible in conflict with don't just follow your heart, because we want the maximum performance for God's service. Train your heart as you look upon the Bible. You notice last week Dennis Scroggins had preached. We're thankful that he was able to preach for us. We support him in the preaching of the gospel, and he had an excellent lesson on the inspired Word of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy not long before he was going to die. And he said, as he is going to be facing severe persecution, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And notice it, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Notice it here. For training in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. There is a training process. And thankfully, as you look upon Timothy, he had a mother and grandmother who loved the Lord, who taught him the Scriptures. This was the foundation for him having the wisdom that and salvation in Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, we read about Timothy first there. And we see the Apostle Paul, and he saw his example, his faithfulness to the Lord. As you look upon the congregations that were around him, Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. And here he was trustworthy for the Apostle Paul to take him on those journeys to preach the gospel. And we see many times the Apostle Paul is recommending Timothy to brethren. He was trustworthy. It goes back to the foundation of the Scriptures. And you think about concerning the fathers. Didn't have this on the board, but fathers, bring up your children, train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is our training manual for our lives. And it's going to start concerning our heart, because you're going to be told by the world, and you're going to hear many holiday movies, oh, it's just so wonderful, just follow your heart. Everything will be fine. Everything will be wonderful, because in those movies, everything seems to be turning out fine. Follow your heart. So you see the temptation that is there, and we need to recognize, you look upon the Bible is trustworthy. It is God-breathed, it is inspired, infallible, inerrant. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, when he had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, what did he do? When the devil told him, turn these stones into bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Jesus trusted in every word. That's how he's able to overcome the devil and his temptations in the same way that we are too. As you think about the philosophies of this world, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall never pass away. Matthew 24, verse 3 through 5. So you look at the book of Proverbs for training your heart. It's like a father talking to his son. As far as training your heart. Trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. And do not lean on what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't follow, just follow your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. The Scriptures. What is the problem? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Don't just follow your heart. The problem is trusting in human wisdom. This is what is going to be taught by the world. And it sounds so wonderful. And it sounds so mushy and feel good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul warns over and over and over again about human wisdom. Will it get through to us concerning trusting in human wisdom? Because this is where the world is at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the idea of those who just follow their heart, you think they're going to think much of the word of the cross? Our sins being nailed to the cross? We just had the opportunity to remember that great sacrifice on our behalf. The Apostle Paul said, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, notice it, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Notice concerning those who are following hard. You look on the Jews. Indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. Right, because they're following their heart. They're following their own desires. They're following their own feelings on the matter. And that seems foolishness, and it's a stumbling block to me. But verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because we're talking about the wisdom of God and the power of God in the Scriptures. As we were studying in our Bible class this morning, Brett bringing up Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as written, the righteous man shall live by his faith. But these trust in human wisdom. As he continues, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Why? Why is he saying that? So that no man may boast before God, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming in you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on what? But on the power of God. Are you listening to the Word of God? Or are you going to just follow your heart? Because that's where many in the world are. Many in the religious world are. Trusting in human wisdom. In chapter 3, verse 18, he said, let no man deceive himself. And if any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become what? He must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. The reason of the wise is useless. Don't just follow your heart. Train your heart by the Scriptures, the foundation that we have in our lives. Training our hearts and our minds and our conscience by the Word of God. That's what we need to be doing concerning our life. In Proverbs chapter 1, we talk about our instruction manual for the heart, father talking to his son, and it begins with the fear of God in Proverbs chapter 1. And not just if you think about concerning children, but here we grow up, and now we are responsible for our own conduct. Our parents, maybe they have done their job, or maybe they haven't done their job. But ultimately, you are going to be held accountable before God. And the temptation is going to be, just follow your heart. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But what? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't have the fear of God, you're not going to have knowledge. Well, wait a minute, I can have a PhD, I can have all these degrees. What do you mean I won't have knowledge? No, you'll have human wisdom, which we gave the warning about that it's foolishness before God, because it's the opposite of what God would tell you in His Word. He said, you have the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Train your heart by the Bible. Oh, but wait a minute. The Bible talks about abusing children by spanking them. That's what you hear in the last couple months, right? If you read the newspaper, here are the psychologists, those who have the human wisdom, that spanking is horrible. I'm not talking about abuse, but spanking. Corporal punishment by God's word is right in accordance with God's will. It's no wonder that people don't have a fear of God any longer. Because, oh, that's abuse to spank your children. Benjamin Spock back in the 50s. Many people followed his guidance. But even more so today. And so people don't fear God and His wisdom. Or listen to their parents, or listen to their teachers, or listen to their principal or police officer, or those who are in authority. Notice in chapter 2, as he talks about receiving the Word of God, he said, my son, if you receive my words, treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Notice concerning your heart. It is concerning your desires, what you want concerning your lives. And you think about concerning, you follow your heart, it's going to lead to destruction. In chapter 4. In chapter 4, again, a father to a son, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. In verse 6, don't forsake her, she will guard you, love her and she will watch over you. So get wisdom from God's word. Study, examine, apply it to your life. Let your heart hold fast your words. You see the objective standard that is there, not subjective. Don't just follow your heart. It's just a subjective thing. Proverbs 4, verse 23, what is your life all about? He said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. I mean, because if your heart goes out, that's the end of your life. It gives out. Well, your spiritual life in the same way. He said, you watch it, you guard it. As you think about concerning in the military, concerning that you're guarding other individuals, you're looking out for them. Here, you're looking out for your heart. You appreciate the warnings from God's word that are given, because the false teachers aren't going to do that. They aren't going to help you. They're going to tell you, just follow your heart. Train your heart by the scriptures. Listen to the word of God. Guard your heart with all diligence. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, wonderful words of wisdom, especially for young people here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, he said, rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Notice it. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Well, it sounds like, isn't God telling the young people, sow your wild oats, have fun, enjoy and fulfill the lust of your flesh? That's not what he's saying. You can enjoy yourself without fulfilling your life with sin. You should enjoy your life when you are young. But notice the next phrase that he says here in the latter part of verse 9, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. You're going to be brought to judgment for the things that you do in your youth. Well, God's just going to overlook it because I'm young. Well, what did God's word say here? Yes, enjoy your life, but recognize you'll be brought to judgment. Fear God. Obey Him. Verse 10, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also, you're created in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure or I have no delight in them. Concerning your life, living your life. Fear and obey God. Listen to your parents when they speak to you of God's word and give you warnings from God's word. It is for your good. They had the life experience to teach. To teach you and to train you up in God's word, because you recognize the difficult days are going to come when you're young. So don't think, I just can't wait till I'm 18 or 21 and I don't have those strict rules. Be thankful. Be thankful for godly parents, for them helping protect your heart, training your heart in the word of God so that you might be pleasing to God, so you can serve Him when you are an adult, so that you can live with Him throughout all of eternity, praising and worshiping Him. You look at Solomon, the conclusion of what all he said, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. That's literally what he said, the whole of man. This is the whole purpose, the whole duty of man. Train your heart in the scriptures. This is what is told, to fear God and keep His commandments. Don't just follow your heart. Why? Because it is easily deceived. I want you to think about the fact that Jeremiah the prophet understood this principle. Jeremiah chapter 10. Hopefully it's familiar to you. This is Jeremiah the prophet who is speaking here. And each and every person needs to recognize that in the same way in their own life, your life and my life. When he says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. What is that? Just follow your heart. Right? Just follow your heart. Know, O Lord, I know that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his own steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. Correct me. He appreciated correction. In Jeremiah 17, specifically concerning the heart, what does he say about the heart? The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful. Just follow your heart. You can be easily deceived. How many times have you thought something was right and felt right, And yet it was wrong. Many, many times, I'm sure. Think about it in my own life. In the same way, you understand concerning that your heart is deceived easily. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, again, going back to what Solomon said by inspiration, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in verse 3, he said, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, yet there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are what? Are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead." Wow, that sounds really depressing, Steve. Right? That doesn't sound good like you, that feel-good movie that we watch, and everything is going to just turn out wonderful. Concerning that you're following your own heart, it's going to be disastrous for you. And then you go to the dead. It is easily deceived. We need to recognize what the Bible says by inspiration concerning the great danger of that. You look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, going back to the beginning of time, to the first family, to the first parents. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is concerned about the brethren there. He's concerned about their souls. He said, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness," what? "Your mind will be led astray from the simplicity and purity, devotion to Christ." The simplicity that is in Christ. The serpent deceived. The heart is easily deceived. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate and they died spiritually. Death was going to come upon all individuals. They had to be cast out of the garden as a result. And the Apostle Paul is concerned about these brethren being led astray. We're being led astray by the idea of just follow your heart. Easily deceived. What we need to remember is that there's a way which seems right to a man, but what? But its end is the way of death. Wow. Proverbs 14, verse 12, Proverbs 16, verse 25 says the same thing. As you think about what comes from the heart, when we think about the Word of God and the warnings from the Word of God, Jesus spoke on this many times. In Matthew and Mark's account, in Matthew chapter 15, look in Matthew chapter 15. He said in verse 19, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Here, concerning the thoughts, and here's how the devil works on individuals, where the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. And it's a matter of concerning what our desires are. We don't have a desire for the Word of God. You don't want to train your heart by the Bible. Here's what you're left with in your life. You're going to think you're right. You're going to feel good. You're going to be deceived by the idea of just follow your heart and into condemnation. Train your heart by the Bible. And then we come to concerning discipline. Discipline. When you think about the training, the idea of training, paideia, the whole training and education of children, the cultivation of mind and morals, and you think about the reproof and punishment that goes along with that. And so here, as you think about getting older, cultivating the soul by correcting mistakes and curbing passions and living for the Lord, we're training for this marathon, really, as you look upon a race, which is what the Hebrew writer uses. You think about a lot in discipline and sports. And those athletes that have to discipline themselves, they go through, what do they call it? They call it training camp. And training camp is almost murder, isn't it? For those athletes going out there in 105, 110 degree heat in the summertime. Training their bodies so that they might be able to make the maximum performance in their sport so that they might win the championship trophy. In Hebrews chapter 12, we talk about concerning a race, this marathon race. Again, as we think about heart rate, and it's trying to get, we want to try to get the right heart rate so that we can have the best performance out of our body. As you think about concerning training our hearts for this race that we are running towards eternity. In Hebrews chapter 12, the apostle, Well, the Hebrew writer by inspiration, just talked about all those in the Hall of Faith. And here they have run their race. And he talks about this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. He said, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How are we going to endure this race? We're going to have to discipline ourselves. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because, oh, it's so easy sometimes to give up, right? When things are tough, when things are hard, when you're facing cancer, when you're facing church, when you're facing persecution. You think about those in the first century specifically facing death for preaching the gospel. As the Apostle Paul, the other apostles, those who were martyred for Christ in the first century. Here they had to fix their eyes on Jesus. Is there any better thing as you look upon Jesus? He ran the race. He finished the race. He's sitting at the right hand of God, but he had to endure through it, and he's our example so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. But it takes discipline. In verse 4, the Hebrew writer, talking to these brethren who are drifting away from Christ, he's talked much about Christ up until this point here. But unlike their forefathers, here at least these individuals hadn't resisted the point of shedding blood. So we're kind of like in the same boat as they are. They hadn't resisted yet to the point of shedding blood. They haven't suffered the consequences of their actions for living for the Lord. But he said in verse 5, in admonition here, you have forgotten the exhortation which addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by him. How many of those who had the idea of just follow your heart, they're not going to like a sermon like this. Those who are just following their heart. Discipline? I don't like discipline. Well, what does he say here concerning those who were apparently regarding lightly the discipline of the Lord? And he quotes this passage and said, nor faint when you are approved by him. People are faint when they were approved by the Lord. For their good. Discipline is good for us. We need that discipline. He said, for those whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines. How many times have I been told, well, you hate your child if you spank them. You hate them if you discipline them. If there is any correction involved. No, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? You are illegitimate children and not sons. See why so many are not children of God, not sons of God? Because they don't want to receive that reproof. They don't want to receive that correction. They don't want to receive that discipline. They don't become a disciple of Christ. You see that in the word discipline, disciple. Follower, imitator of Christ. Verse 9, he goes back to the earthly illustration here. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them. Parents did the best they could with what was going on in their lives at that time. Could they have done better? Maybe they could have. Maybe they couldn't have. They did what seemed best to them. And maybe they failed sometime. Oh, I blame my parents for the way that I am and all of that. But as it continues, you said, God is perfect. Parents make mistakes, but God is perfect. But he disciplines us for our good. Why? So that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. That lets you know concerning the pain that is involved there. This is why the world, you look at the psychologists, well, there's pain involved. That's bad. That's terrible. Should we be surprised about what the psychologists say about God's word, about pain and suffering? It's for our good. I'm not talking about abuse. But what God's word concerning disciplining, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful yet to those who have been trained by it. Are you training your heart by the scriptures? Are you following your heart like the world tells you to do? He said, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The end result is righteousness. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthian brethren, again, here's an illustration of sports. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking about running a race that you might win. What are you doing as a result of that? Well, you exercise self-control in all things. Those who are Olympic athletes, it's amazing their regimen and what they go through concerning their bodies and training their bodies, exercising self-control over their bodies, or they wouldn't be able to perform the way they perform. When we talk about concerning running a race, we just talked about in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Notice the Apostle Paul, what he said about his body. Do we have the same attitude and mindset concerning our bodies? Well, I just can't control what I do. That's just my nature. To curse, to swear, to drink and dance, to fornication. To do all these things, which you call sin. No, he said, verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You could say another thing is that he wouldn't be a hypocrite. He isn't preaching one thing and practicing another, as so many do. He disciplined his body. Doesn't that tell you, think about training your heart by the scriptures? I cannot make excuses and say, it's just my nature. God made me do it. God made me this way. I was born this way. We have a responsibility to discipline our body so that we won't be disqualified from the prize. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you think about the Apostle Paul as he's training Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, giving him instruction from the Word of God by inspiration, he said, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of what? Of godliness. You say, well, there's no point in working out since it's all about the spiritual part, right? No, there's little profit in that. And verse 8 emphasizes that. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but the point is concerning it's only temporary. Concerning those who are athletes, it'll do good for their lives, but what about eternity? It's not going to help you in eternity. But it's going to profit a little here. But godliness is profitable for all things. Why? Since it holds promise for the present life and also for the one to come. Isn't it interesting concerning that it's going to... So, well, it's only going to profit me in eternity. It's not going to help me here and now. Oh, yes. Promise for the present life and all... In the world to come, in the life to come. Does that mean everything is going to go right and wonderful? No, there's going to be suffering, but there is going to be joy through all your circumstances. What are you putting into your heart? How are you training your heart? All these messages that bombard you daily from what you hear. You get frustrated and tired by all these things. And you say, well, how is it possible to commit Philippians 4, verse 8 to your heart? In Philippians 4, verse 8, Apostle Paul said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You'd be able to think about all those things all the time? No, but here your mind is dwelling on. All these negative things are going on. Just follow your heart. Just follow your feelings, which are deceptive. But you can think on and dwell on these things. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. discipline ourselves belongs first in our mind. You can't prevent maybe some of the things that will come into your mind. But the whole thing about it is that you can let your mind dwell on the things that are right and true and honorable and pure, can't you? Or can you? You don't think you can? We're not listening to the Word of God if we think that. Garbage in, garbage out. Truth in, truth out. You think about concerning what is going to come into your thoughts. Because the whole thing is, the wicked person, what is they going to do? They think a thought and here it comes out of their mouth. The filth and garbage and profanity, the backbiting, the cursing, the lying, profanity, all of these sinful things. In Matthew chapter 12, well, God's got to do something to my heart. And false teachers will tell you, you have to have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on your heart. God has to change my heart in order for me to follow Him. And that's a lie from the devil. That's not true. You look upon the good and the evil man. Notice the contrast here in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, and what Jesus said, Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking when He says this. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 35, He said, the good man brings out of what? His good treasure, what is good. Now, who decides that? Who decides what's going on? Oh, yeah, my parents decide what's going on in my mind, right? That should be a great influence. It's right. It's true from the Word of God, right? Somebody else is controlling my mind. Well, if it is, you know, unless the Word of God as far as, yeah, we're all free moral agents. We all have a choice and decisions that we're making. Hopefully we're going to be making the right choices, because the good man is going to do what? He's going to choose out of his good treasure. What is his treasure? It's his desires. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, verse 21. The one who is laying up themselves treasures in heaven. You want to lay up yourselves treasures on earth? Well, the moth and rust can destroy. Thieves can break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you bringing out of your good treasure what is good? Or are you just following your heart and bringing out what is evil and filled with pleasure? That's the next thing He says. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Well, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Boy, I don't like the discipline stuff. Pleasure sure sounds a lot easier. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what the end result is if there's no resurrection. Let's just live to please ourselves. The Apostle Paul is trying to tell this to the Corinthian brethren, who is of some said, there's no resurrection for the dead. Well, it's a waste of time to serve God. We've wasted our time. But he shows by the evidence that, yes, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, hopefully this is familiar to you. Bad company corrupts good morals. Those who are seeking pleasure, they're going to try to motivate you. Don't go with those narrow-minded, bigoted, homophobic individuals. Those who are members of the Church of Christ, they don't want you to have fun. Don't want you to have any pleasure. Again, we noticed in the passage in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, concerning the right kind of joy in your life. Talking about concerning the danger of sin here. Bad company corrupts good morals. Seeking pleasure. Solomon, here he had all this knowledge. This is whereby sometimes you look at Solomon. He was a wonderful young man. He asked God for wisdom. He gave him riches and wisdom. And to judge this people, a great people of thine. And he gave him that along with riches and honor. And we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We look in his life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. What Solomon says by inspiration there. He said, all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Oh, it sounds like he was having a good time, right? Wonderful. Right? Seeking after pleasure. What does he say in the next verse? Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. Behold, all was what? All was vanity and striving after the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Why? Because you can't hold on to that. It's only temporary. It is fleeting. This generation, as you look upon it, is all about concerning if it feels good, do it. I was just looking up something for if it feels good, do it by on the internet. And I don't know this song by Sloan, but 2002. The name of the song, If It Feels Good, Do It. Song nominated for Best Song of 2002 Juno Awards. Shouldn't be surprised by what it says. And one of the phrases said, if it feels good, do it, even if you shouldn't. Don't let people mess you around. Feels good, do it, even if you shouldn't. Nobody can mess you around. It's repeated in that song. This is where individuals are at today, and this has been for a long period of time. If it feels good, do it. It's right from the devil's, right from his playbook. And people are deceived by it. Think of Debbie Boone's song, for those of us who are older. Back in the 70s, You Light Up My Life, very likely the number one song of the 70s. In that phrase, in that song, You Light Up My Life, a lot of beautiful words in that song, but in that phrase, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. It can't be. That's not true, is it? No, that's not true. You look upon false teachers, you know they know how to take advantage of people. They can see their weakness if they're trained by the devil. In 2 Peter chapter 2, all the warnings about false teachers in this passage in 2 Peter chapter 2 and how they work. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he's talking about the deceptions in verse 13, right before verse 14. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their own deceptions. They crowds with you. In verse 14, notice it, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. And what do? Enticing unstable souls, those who don't know the Word of God, those who haven't trained their heart by the Word of God. They are the ones who are easily deceived. And the multitudes listen to them. And they pay for their mansions and their cars and all the fun and enjoyment and don't even realize what they're doing, being taken advantage of by these false teachers. And notice the next phrase there. Ever notice that? What is their heart trained in? The Scripture says, having a heart trained in greed. Having a heart trained in greed. Did they have a choice in that matter to what they're going to train by their heart? Oh, yes, they did. We likely you can look at concerning having a powerful influence on people. Charismatic individual, eloquent, unlike me. Those who have smooth words and flattering speech make people feel good. And here they train their heart in greed. So they're going to give the people what they want to hear. And they know just how to take advantage of them so they can reach into your pocketbook and get and bankrupt your soul while filling their bank account. He said, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteous. Wait a minute. Balaam, wasn't he a prophet of God? I thought Balaam was a prophet of God. How could he be mentioned in this context? That's the whole sad thing concerning that he knew better, and yet he sold out his people in order to enrich himself. And that's what false teachers do, even those who would know the truth, because money is the object of their affection in their life. But they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness had been reversed. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice how? They entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. Fleshly desires. Calvinism, right? All you have to do is believe and be saved, because you can still follow your heart and believe. believe in God, and that's all right. Well, the demons believe and tremble. So that verse is mentioned in our Bible class this morning. The demons even believe and tremble. When you think about the Word of God and the warnings that are here concerning false teachers. In verse 19, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Can free be free to live. You can free to live the good life now. Just follow your heart. Follow your desires. In Proverbs chapter 6, again, Solomon like talking to his son, the warnings. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25. Training your heart is going to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Proverbs 6 verse 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. And here, people are captured. Captured by pornography in their bedrooms, whereby parents don't know or others don't know or seemingly don't know. It will corrupt your heart. It will turn you away from God. And I'm going to try to do both and desire her beauty. It's not going to work. It's not going to function correctly. This is going to affect your childhood. Affect maybe even who you marry in the future, or divorce and remarry and marry again and be in adulterous relationships. Concerning this heart that desires the flesh. Because on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and adulterous hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Wounds and disgrace. Jealousy enrages a man. You think about concerning seeking pleasure, it's going to turn out fun. It's going to turn out all right. If it feels good, do it. Chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. My sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside your paths to her ways. Do not strain her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Seeking after pleasure is destructive. But it feels so good. It feels so right. It feels so wonderful. Now we recognize fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. There are so many individuals that you would talk to in the stores and so on. They're living with their boyfriend or girlfriend. I meet them when I go out and talk about their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They're living together. And here don't even understand concerning the Word of God and what it says. And so many are living this way. Don't follow and just follow your heart because, well, you know, I don't know about the marriage relationship. My parents' marriage didn't work out. So, you know, we got to go through a trial. We got to go through a trial thing. And I don't know if I can trust her. She might be just out there to take my money. And so if we get divorced and everything, I'm going to have to give her half of all my stuff. That's what I might have to face as a result. We recognize marriage to be held in honor among all. We recognize concerning what God set it up is good and it is right. When you're not just following your heart, when you're training your heart by the Bible, hopefully as a faithful Christian, you'll pick a mate who will be following the principles that you see in the Bible, that their heart is trained by the Word of God, because it's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. God's divine arrangement will work because you've disciplined yourself for godliness instead of just seeking after pleasure, a quick thrill, a few minutes of pleasure. You look upon what the Word of God says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Colossians 3, verse 17, concerning your thoughts. See, this is going to lead to action. Jesus warned about lust in your heart after that individual, because you committed adultery with her already in your heart. Here we just take the place and the time, and it would happen. Lusting after her in your heart, leading to that action. But if you're disciplining yourself for godliness, no, I recognize where that leads. I'm not going to I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to go down that path. Maybe others have gone. And so my thoughts are going to be filled. My words are going to be gracious and kind. Yes, there can be obviously rebukes that are in there. What is best for the other souls. But here, I'm going to have a kind and gracious spirit. And that's going to be reflected in my words. It's going to be reflected in my actions. And hopefully your words and your actions in your life. What you think in your heart, so are you. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. We can't just follow our heart because it is easily deceived by human wisdom. We see all around about us. And we seek after pleasure instead of disciplining ourselves for godliness. Fearing and obeying God. Being trustworthy the way God desires that we be. God knows your heart. He knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. But the Word of God is living and active. When you think about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, convict the world of sin and righteousness of judgment. Boy, that sure doesn't make me feel good. Just follow your heart. See, if I'm just following my heart, I'm not going to listen to that. But if I recognize concerning I'm following my pleasures, it's going to lead to eternal destruction, and recognize I am guilty of sin, and you can be forgiven of your sins, why would you harden your heart against God's Word, who loves you and sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins? The Holy Spirit revealed it to His apostles and prophets in the Spirit. When we read it, we can't understand it. And hopefully as a result of hearing the Word of God, that we'll believe in our heart, with all our heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to confess it before men. To recognize I need to change my ways and to God's ways. Because the Word of God has pricked my heart. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When they heard the Word of God, that they with wicked hands had crucified the Son of God, they were pierced to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." God is calling today. God is calling through the Scriptures. Will you let Him in? We're going to sing the song 305, "Let Him In." Let Him in. Open up your heart to the truth of God's Word. Change your life before it's too late. Because after death comes a judgment. And it's going to be too late. Well, God needs to do more. He needs to do something to my heart. No, you need to be responsible. You need to respond to the gospel. Because you don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." It'll be too late then. Yes, you will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it'll be too late. Why not do it now? Well, there's still opportunity, time and opportunity. And you'll rejoice, and we'll rejoice with you, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But maybe you need to be restored. Maybe you're like Simon the Sorcerer. Here he sinned after being a Christian, desired to buy the gift of God with money. He was told, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity. Repent and pray that, if possible, the intention of what? Of your heart may be forgiven you." You can be restored back to the Lord's service. Or you need the prayers of the congregation, prayers of the church. Be happy to do that. Whatever your spiritual need is, if you're not prepared for the judgment day, don't just follow your heart. Obey the gospel from the heart. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.